Yes, you think you could have just returned?
It did. Were there many neighbors that, who lived close to your home?
That's what you said with, you're not taking it now, are you?
No, there weren't. We were quite isolated. It was a dirt street at that time, and on one side of us was a big lot that had these tremendous big lava stones about, 15 feet high and others taller that we used to play on. The other side of the house was a vacant lot, and then next to that lived the Kellys. That was the name. And that's where I had a very bad experience with my friend Olive and I. He had called us in the garage. He was a middle-aged man. In fact, I'm a little on the older side because his daughters were grown up and married. And he called us in the garage and made passes at us. And we escaped. And I was so ashamed I didn't mention it to my family. But she told her parents. And so then Mr. Grobel called my father, and the two of them went to see this man. And I don't know just what happened, but I know my younger brother and different children in the neighborhood after that kidded me for years about Mr. Kelly. Then the next house to that was Harriet Truett. I played with her quite a lot. In fact, our playing at that time, we used to build tree houses. And we built one in the lot right next door between the Kellys and our house. And at that time, the Catholics built a school a few blocks away, and children would go through that lot to the school. And we used to call out to them cat lickers, and they would call us dog lickers. All seems so ridiculous now. Anyhow, in the treehouse, we kept these pictures. It was quite a fad then for children to write to all the well-known movie actors and actresses for their photographs. And they sent us quite large photos, you know, like 6.5 by 9, more or less, signing their names. I remember, you know, Mary Pickford, Marguerite Clark, Fatty Arbuckle, Douglas Fairbanks, all of these. We had, I don't know, I doubt that it was 100, but it was a great, we had great success when we would get one in the mail. Then we also, we used to love to make fairy lands in the woods with confetti and cotton. Is something coming on there? Then the Wyards lived down at the foot of that hill. They lived right in part in front of where all these trees were, where we had this experience with this Chinese man that we had insulted so terribly. We had some chink chink Chinaman sitting on a trail, along came a choo-choo train, chopped off his tail. He got out of his delivery car and chased us for blocks down to these woods. We went in the woods and hid behind bushes, and he was going around looking for us, and he evidently didn't see us, or he did see us and didn't know what to do with us. But from then on, I don't think I ever made a derogatory statement about another vase. These were very large lots that would be vacant. And I also remember about that time that this Chinese laundryman, that was my first experience in race relations. And I certainly learned something from that. He stopped in front of the house. Maybe he did something special for us. but I don't remember that we generally used Chinese laundry, but his friend and I gave a little ditty. I can't remember now. Some Chinaman sitting on a rail, along came a choo-choo train and chopped off his tail. And he got out, he was just furious, and he chased us for blocks and blocks, and we came to some woods. There, it was still trees for about 3 blocks. And we went in there and hid behind some bushes, and he came into the bushes, but he never did find us, or else if he saw us, he pretended he didn't, because that really taught us a lesson. After that, I don't think I ever made a slur against any group, except we were brought up with the regular racial slurs of eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a nigger by the toe, and
things like that. In school,
I'd learned them in school or from other children that I don't know where I'd learned them, but now you asked about the neighbors. So, then after this house of the man that molested us with my friend lived in the next house, Harriet, we used to build tree houses, and we used to collect photographs of movie actors and actresses. We would write them and they would sign them and send their pictures to us. And about that time, I remember, they started a Catholic school a few blocks from our place, so the Catholic children used to come through a path right by our tree house. And we would call them, we'd yell at them cat lickers, and they'd yell at us dog lickers. I mean, it just seems so ridiculous when you grow
that's
up.
That's just the dog licker. I had never heard that one.
Well, that's just because we call them cat lickers, so they just made us into dogs. Since they were the cats. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Anyway. And then my friends and I, we would go in the woods. There were quite a few woods around there where you could make all sorts of pretty looking places, throw cotton around and confetti so it would look like fairyland.
Disneyland.
And I don't know, and we played games, you know, with different, we played many games at our house because we had a big yard, and so all the neighborhood children would collect there. And just reminiscing, we always, in the summertime at least, we always had a 6-quart ice cream freezer, and every Sunday we would have some ice cream made of real cream that we would get from somebody that came in from a farm bringing cream that was so thick it wouldn't pour. Hmm. Anyway, that's more or less.
Tell me, were politics just in as much as your father and your grandfather had been, was it discussed much in the home?
No, at home, in the first place, my mother didn't have time. I didn't ever see her reading a book. We had some women's magazines, I guess, that she read. And my father, when he was home, was always reading The World's Work. Do you remember that magazine? Anyway, but he didn't discuss politics. In fact, the discussions that took place at the dinner table were between my oldest sister and my brother that was 2 years older, John and Polly. And John was... he was the most curious, I would say, because he was reading. He found out by himself Thoreau and all these things, and he would argue with my older sister during the mealtime, and I found that quite interesting, but I didn't say much in those days, and I didn't read much.
Did they vote?
Oh, yes, my mother and father voted. Oh, of course.
But
Were they Republicans, Democrats?
Well, my father's family were brought up, they were all Republican politicians, and my mother's side, they were voted prohibition. I remember later when we had a closet that was called the dark closet. There were a lot of old photographs, and I found this photograph of my grandfather's funeral. And here were all these flowers, the coffin in this room, and a great big slogan on the wall saying, "Prohibition will win." So that was my mother's side. They were prohibitionists. And
you don't know
she was they're... also in the, she was a member of the DAR.
Probably Republican then.
I don't know, probably, but they voted, but I don't think, at that time, I was even conscious of Republican and Democrat.
Or Democrat, in other words, you weren't really politically conscious.
No. In fact, I didn't read the newspaper, just as funny, because I thought, if you didn't know what was going on, I mean, you couldn't get much from the newspapers. I mean, I really felt lost with the newspapers, so I didn't even read them. Although we got a newspaper every morning, we got the morning paper and the afternoon paper. And my brothers always had newspaper routes. You know, they delivered the papers, and they used to also make furnace fires in the winter time for different neighbors.
So let's go back now to your high school days, and you have finished high school. What kind of a graduation ceremony? You said you were a solidarian.
That was in high school. Well, I didn't have to make a speech. The valedictorian usually made the speech, and the valedictorian was a real pathetic guy that was all crippled up, but he was very, very bright. And so I don't remember. I mean, I wasn't impressed by
any of the ceremonies.
Really wasn't impressed by ceremonies. It's the same as I was in Sunday school. I went to Sunday school every Sunday because, you know, that was just expected. And I was always given a nickel to put in the collection, but one time I didn't put it in and went downtown with this friend. And she bought a candy bar, and I bought a dill pickle. That was what I often did, was get a dill pickle instead of candy. But I bought a one of these big round balls, and it caught in my throat, and I really could have died. I couldn't breathe hardly. And she went around and got a man that had a car to take me home. And my mother didn't get excited. She gave me a glass of warm water, and she said, "Well, just take sips, and it'll gradually go down." And it did, but I thought that was punishment for not spending the nickel for this jawbreaker, they call them, instead. So, but I don't think I did that very often. But I never was very impressed by, in the Sunday school, too. I mean, I really never felt very holy.
You did
not. I didn't get this feeling.
No.
But my sister Mary did. She tried every single different church. But that's because the Methodist had, her Sunday school teacher told her she was going to hell because she had never been baptized. I don't think any of us were ever baptized. And so she quit the Methodist, and she tried all the others, and she had a good voice. She sang and the Catholic choir and the church and the Christian Science and Presbyterian. She tried them all, and the preachers that go around to whip you up?
Revivalists.
Forgotten his name. Gypsy Lee, not... anyway... Remember her taking us to that revival. But later on, she got over that, too.
They had them in the tents?
Yes.
How did you decide to which college you were going to go, since you knew that you were going to go to college?
Well, I decided. I looked around and decided my
two older sisters went to Smith, but Person had all also, I think the first year, the first 2 years, she went to a local, it was a Methodist college called Whitman College in Walla Walla, Washington. That's where the state penitentiary is, too. And Mary went to Whitman the 4 years. So they had, the only experience had been Whitman and Smith. And my brother John went to MIT. And I just wanted to go to a different school. So I went to the University of Washington at Seattle. And I was taken into the Kappa Gammas. It was called the Ice House there. You know, and I hated the sororities because I had friends from Spokane. I always seem to pick up with twins, the Tomowski twins.
And did you meet at the university?
Yes. Well, I knew them from high school, too. And my sorority sisters would bawl me out for going with them instead of just going around with Kappas. And then another thing I didn't like, they made me, I can't carry a tune. In fact, when I was very little, we all had to take piano lessons, and my teacher had pinned a note on the belt of my dress to my mother, saying it was a waste of her time and my mother's money for me to take any lessons. Also in school, I'm going back to grade school again now, my mother used to sing so loud in church, I was singing loud in grade school when you get up and sing. And the boy next to me put up his hand and asked if he could move his seat because I got him off the tune. So you can see I didn't have a very good voice. But so at this, in the college, at the university house, they would make me this hazing. I didn't like it all. They made me and another girl, we were to sing in harmony. Well, I couldn't harmonize. I couldn't sing without being in harmony, let alone harmony. And then they would all laugh. That was supposed to be a great joke. And then now and then, some night, they would have low lights and call you in one at a time and tell everybody their faults. And we slept on bunk beds on the balcony.
You in a dormitory?
Well, this was the Kappa House. But the freshmen, I think it was just the freshmen, slept out there. And these were all the new pledges. And here they would be weeping from things that these upperclassmen had told them that didn't know them at all. It really made me angry. So I had a little revolution at the end of the school year. I remember we had to talk Latin. The Kappa Gammas, you'd go to this meeting, and I remember colon, colon, I don't know the day, something like that it was. It was just a lot of nonsense. All this ceremony business was nonsense to me. So I went there, Washington, and every time you met a new person, the first thing they would say is, "What are you?" And that meant what sorority or fraternity. That's all that seemed to matter. And I didn't like that at all. And they called the ones that weren't in sororities or fraternities were called barbarians. Anyway, I decided toward the end of the year that I wasn't learning much at this school. I had one good teacher in poetry who really tried to shock the students into thinking a little bit, but
poetry, what? English poetry?
English poetry, yes. I always avoided English literature. I avoided English classes because my sister was good at writing things and it had been hinted that I had no originality. So I tried to stay away from English classes. And but I liked this course very much, this poetry course, because she tied it up so that you could really, by reading a poem, you could put it in what century it was, more or less, and this and that. It really was that course I liked.
What were you majoring in?
I wasn't majoring in anything yet. That was the freshman year, see. So I decided that I wasn't really learning what life was all about. I was learning dates, and it seemed just like high school. So I thought, well, this isn't what college was supposed to be, so I figured, well, I'll try Smith, since two of my sisters liked it a lot. So
when you were in the sorority house, were your meals served there?
Oh, yes.
And how many?
Everybody lived there.
Yeah,
they were all
the dorms. Sorry, how many bunks in the room would you say?
Well, this was on the back porch. There was, well, I suppose there were about just 5 double ones. Maybe there were 10 pledges. Just the freshmen slept out there.
Mm-hmm.
The others had rooms inside. And another thing I didn't like, I mean, I didn't really have any political ideas or much ethnic ideas, but I knew they didn't take Jewish people in.
In the sorority.
So I remember once this upperclassman that I think you also had a chest of drawers in a certain bedroom. Anyway, she was sort of a roommate of mine, but she didn't sleep out on the balcony. And I decided I would shock her once. I said something about that implied I was Jewish, and then I said, "Oh, I didn't mean to tell you." But I don't remember. I guess maybe she didn't believe it because there wasn't any repercussion. But it just shows I was getting a little bit cautious of why I didn't like the sorority. Anyway, so I decided to get into Smith, you had to take college boards. So I got some books and studied. I don't think I'd had I studied for the college boards, and I took them, and I was accepted, so I went to Smith the next year.
But had you talked to your parents about this at all?
No, I mean, they weren't there. I was in Seattle,
yes,
and they were in Spokane. I suppose I drove home and told them I was going to Smith.
You were really free to make your own decision.
Oh, yes.
About whether you liked or you go back next year or you go somewhere.
Oh, yes. So I'm sure I told them that I was going to Smith. Because I would go home the summer vacation, I still had the job that I had started in the 8th grade in grade school.
Okay.
You see, every summer, I worked for the Spokane Credit Company. Had a little bit of revolt there, too, because they used to use a time clock. McLeod was his name. He was the owner. Time clock. When you went out to the bathroom, you know, check how many minutes you were gone. So, I think I organized a little revolt there.
Did it change? I mean, you can't remember?
Well, I think we were allowed a little longer then, but maybe I was fired, I don't remember, but no, I worked every summer there.
Can you remember what you were paid?
Hmm?
Can you remember what your salary was?
13, it was the minimum for Washington State. I think it was $13.75 a week. And that was, you know, that was before the Depression.
Was that 6 days a week?
That was 5.5 days. In the summer, I worked full time. The rest of the time, I just worked after school for a few hours. And, you know, checking deeds, the property, all this and that.
And when you were in high school?
That was during high school, and also I started there in the 8th grade in elementary school. And then I'd work on vacations and after school when I was in high school and in the 8th grade. I think that's where I started, in the 8th grade. And I hated locates. They had what you call locates. That's people that didn't pay their bills. I wouldn't take any of them. They had to do such dirty work. I mean, they would cut out articles from the society pages and put them, they had files on everybody, you see, and they'd put them in under the person's name. So then this one employee, in fact, she was a neighbor. I guess she got the job because she knew me. I was there first. She took this job of locates. And she would find these people that owed money. She'd call up pretending she was a friend. She'd read
from the society page some any article that would give somebody's name of somebody that she knew, and she would make up some story anyway to find out where they were, and get that was called locate. But I didn't do that. I kept track of the property they owned, and then they would call up from a company to see if they had good credit, and we'd look at the card, and we'd check where they had had business deals and check if their credit was good. So that was that.
What would you do with your salary?
I thought of this watch was the first thing. That's the only thing I remember buying.
You kept the money.
But I think I probably bought material and made clothes. Or I bought some clothes too. I began buying some ready-made clothes. Yes, probably. And so now I'm back to Smith College. So Smith was.
How did you get there? By train, of course.
Oh, yes, and that's connected with my first husband, because that summer, my sister Polly had worked in Yellowstone Park as a hostess. She was in the dining room. And she had met this fellow, Beverly Jefferson. I remember him. I shouldn't say the name. Anyway, he came by to visit her. And he fell for me just because I was younger. So I forgot, when I was at Washington, he was always sending roses and things and all these letters. Anyway, when I went to Smith, I stopped in Chicago and visited his family. And he had this friend, Robert Cleveland, who wasn't working right then, and he had him show me around the town. And I married him later in New York. Anyway, that's how I got to Smith. And then at Smith we had to get up and read something, although we had been accepted, and I, having a Western accent, they didn't like my accent, so I was put in a special English class with two lispers and a Chinese girl. And they had to practice in front of mirrors. I was supposed to not have a hard R, and this and that. Well, I really didn't ever try, because I couldn't see the point of changing my pronunciation, why the Eastern pronunciation was any better than the West. So I never did get out of that class. But that Smith was just like a prison to me. I couldn't see why my sisters liked it. I mean, in the first place, it was just women. And you had to be in your room at 10 o'clock, and I never did spend much time studying, so I didn't know what to do with myself. So I did volunteer, and I gave various Italians in that town, it was Northampton, Massachusetts, lessons in English. But I'd be back before 10.
You would do that in the evening?
Yes. Anyway, then I took a course, one of my courses was philosophy, and I got so tired of Bishop Berkeley and all his idealists. So anyway, for the term paper, I had decided that I was an atheist. And I wrote a term paper on that, and I got A, so I think the teacher was probably an atheist too. But at that time, the terrible time I went through was that I couldn't sleep, because it seemed to me that everybody I knew that got ahead, they seemed to take advantage of other people, and the people that didn't get ahead seemed to be the best people, and the religion, and I decided everything I'd been taught was lies, and I couldn't sleep, and I didn't sleep for two whole weeks. In fact, I developed a big lump in my throat called globus hystericus. But they didn't tell me at the time that's what it was. I went to this house mother to ask if she couldn't give me something to sleep. And she made it worse, because she didn't believe, she thought the reason I couldn't sleep must be that I was pregnant or something. And here I had never even let a boy kiss me. I was brought up very backward. Anyway,
I have to turn.
Oh, you have to turn. Well, we're almost to the end. So, at the dinner table, she'd be at the head of the table, and she would say to me, do you think you should have this in your condition? And she talked like this all the time. I just didn't say anything, but it was so ridiculous. And finally, I decided I was going crazy. Okay, you know,